Isaiah chapter 44 in your Bibles, Isaiah 44, and we're going to look at, we're going to read through Isaiah 44 on into chapter 45. Amen. If you want to stand with me, you can. That'd be great. If you can't stand, that's fine too. But Isaiah 44, and just to shorten the text up a little bit, we're not going to read the whole chapter 44. We're going to start in verse 28. Amen. Make y'all feel a little better. And aren't you glad you're saved this morning? Amen. Can I say to you this statement, and if you want to argue with me about it after church, that's fine. Well, I'll show you that you're wrong and I'm right, and that's fine. But the Christian life really is easy. It really is. We make it hard, but it's not hard. We had a young lady that was dealing with drugs, and she just was in and out. She was one of our bus kids growing up through the youth group, and she just kept going back to dope. And she said, Miss Deanne, I was in the car with her. It's just so hard to live the Christian life. And I said, no, it's not hard. It's really easy. The way of transgressor is hard. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says the way the transgressor is hard. Broken marriages, broken families, broken lives, that's hard. Hey, living for God really is not that hard. Amen. And I want to preach to you a little bit about it this morning. And look at Bible verse number 28 of chapter 44 of Isaiah. The Bible says, thus saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built into the temple, thy foundation shall be laid. So he says about Cyrus, king of Persia, that he is going to rebuild God's temple. Okay. And look at verse number 1 of chapter 45. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, subdue nations before him. And I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two levied gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light, create the darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. God, I do pray you'd help us this morning. I thank you for good music this morning already. And God, I'm just praying the Holy Ghost to God would just, Lord, just take this preacher. God, I'm not worthy. Lord, I never feel like I'm adequate to get up and preach your word to anyone. And God, much less in another pulpit or another place. And God, I have no doubt, though, that there's a reason, Father, for us being here this morning. I thank you for the investment that this church has made in the lives of ladies in this area the last few days, God. I thank you for all the work that went into it, God. And I know you're going to bless them, God, for their effort and for their labor. But God, right now, I pray that you'd use this preacher, God, to help families in this church, and God, to help young people, God, to make some choices today that they're going to live for you and do that which was right in your sight. God, we love you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Cyrus is a great study. If you study the life of Cyrus, the secular historians say of Cyrus that he was the most humanitarian leader ever. I'm talking about the world says this about King Cyrus in your Bible, that he did more good for people than any other leader that there ever was. And he was the leader of the first major empire, the Mede-Persian Empire. The first major empire in the history of the world was this King Cyrus. Now, we read the text, okay? Now, let me say this to you. This text right here that names him by name was written almost 200 years before Cyrus was ever born. Think about that. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? And I want you just to look with me real quick what the Bible says about Cyrus. Look at verse number 1. The Bible says this. It says, look at verse 28 of chapter 44. Thus saith the Lord, he is my shepherd. Can I remind you this morning that he is not a king of Israel? He's not a king of Judah. He is not of God's chosen people. This is a king that was a secular, in our mindset, a secular king. And this is what God says about this secular king. He says this, he is my shepherd and he shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. Look what he says in chapter 45, verse 1. He says, thus saith the Lord to his what? Anointed. That is the only king that God ever called his anointed outside of one of his kings of Israel. That's pretty amazing. Are y'all with me right now? And I look at this text and watch what happens as I begin reading this, that God, listen to me, church, he is talking about a king that is not one of his. He's not one of the children of Israel. He is talking about a secular king, and he makes some statements about it, and he says he is going to do what I want him to do. Now watch what you Bible says in verse number one again. The Bible says in chapter 45, verse 1, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden. Watch what he says, to subdue nations. He says to subdue nations. He's going to take care of those nations around him. He says, and I will loose the loins of kings and open before him the two levied gates, and the gates shall not be shut. Look what he says in verse 2. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. This will help us right here. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. He said, I'm going to make the crooked places straight. I'm going to take out the obstacles. Look at verse number 3. He says this. He said, I'll give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. Can I say to you this morning, before Cyrus was ever born, God called him. Before he was ever born, listen to me. Listen to me, young people. I'm going to tell you something right quick that's going to seem kind of deep. And adults, it's going to seem kind of deep to you. But did you know that God knows everything? Yeah. Now, let me just make a statement. And if you disagree with me, you're wrong about this too. Okay, there's a doctrine called Calvinism, and Calvinism is out of hell. Okay, right. Calvinism is a doctrine for lazy people who don't want to tell somebody about Jesus. Right. But here's the truth, is that God does know who's going to get saved. Amen. He knows, you and I don't know. He does know, listen to me, he does know who wants to live in his will and who's going to make choices to serve him. You see, he knew that 200 years down the road, there'd be a king named Cyrus. Listen, this is good. Hey, listen, you know why God could put his name down in the word of God 200 years prior to him being born and say, there's going to be a king named Cyrus? Because God knew in 200 years there was going to be a king named Cyrus, and God was going to speak to him, and he was going to submit to what God wanted him to do. He knows right now in this auditorium, he knows who is going to submit to him and who is not. You want God's blessings on your life? You make a decision today that I'm just going to live for God. Amen. You see, we think, well, God reacts to what we're doing. God already knows what we're going to do. He already knows. You understand? But his knowing. Look at your Bible, Romans chapter number 8 real quick. Romans chapter 8. Let me borrow your Bible real quick. Look at Romans chapter 8. Watch this. When you get to Romans 8, say amen. I told Brother Jeremy I only preached about 25 minutes, 30 minutes. So he sang an extra song, so I wouldn't let y'all out too early. Praise God. But I might go longer. But look at Romans chapter 8, verse number 28. Watch this. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Right? Verse number 29. For whom he did what? Foreknow, he also did what? To be what? Conform. So whom he foreknew, God knew in July of 1982, Miss Ogdy, that you were going to be at Vacation Bible School. He knew that on July of 1982 that I was going to come forward, and God was dealing with me about my salvation. And I talked to the preacher that day, told him I didn't want to go to hell, and he had Miss Ogdy come, and we went over to the side auditorium there at Trinity Baptist Church, Grand Prairie, Texas, 314 Skyline Road, and she knelt down, opened the Word of God, and I prayed that day and trusted Christ as my Savior. Years ago. Now listen, back then God knew that, and before the foundations of the world, he already had a plan to conform me to the image of his son, just like he does every believer. That's predestination in the Bible. God doesn't predestine anybody to go to hell. Well, what I'm saying is this, is that God knew in 200 years there was going to come a king that would be submissive to him. It could have been another king, but the other kings were not going to be submissive to him. It could have been another ruler of another country, but God uses Cyrus to build the first great empire that our world knows about. And he wasn't even a Jewish king. Why, preacher? Because God knew that Cyrus would say, "Yes, Lord." Look at your Bible, Ezra chapter number 1 real quick. Ezra chapter, keep your place in Isaiah. Go over to Ezra chapter number 1, page 529. Ezra chapter number 1, look there with me in verse number 1. When you get there, say amen. Not only would Ezra be used of God to do what he's going to do right here in Ezra chapter 1. Watch this. He's now in the first year. When you get there, Ezra 1:1, when you get there, say amen. We're getting a little better. Amen. Ezra chapter 1, 529 in my Bible. Praise God. Now in the first year of who? Cyrus, king of who? Persia, that the word Lord came by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, "Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he had charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God." Hey, this is King Cyrus saying he is the God. It sure would be good if we could get a leader in America that would sure say that he is the God. Amen. Look at verse number 4. "And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts and beside the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem." I mean, listen, that's a blessing right there. Hey, God said it was going to happen. 200 years later, it happens. Not only is the house being built, but God raised up Cyrus for a reason. We don't understand this. I know we have rednecks here, praise God. I know we have rednecks here. And here's our pull right now in America in our churches. Because we are men. Somebody asked me today, said, "How did you get your church to be led by men?" I said, "We never let the ladies lead." And I'm not trying to like get y'all bent out of shape, okay? But I'm being serious. I mean, if you let ladies lead, hey, if the men aren't going to do it, the ladies will. That's free preaching. He did not ask me to touch on that, amen. Must have been the Spirit of God, because I wouldn't even plan on talking about that. But here's Cyrus, and I'm saying we've got men in the church. And our mindset today, we look at all the nonsense that's going on in our society, and we're all making sure we got our ARs ready. And we're making sure we're buying up the ammo. You can't buy bullets in Texas. Can I get a witness? And we're buying up all the ammo, and we're stockpiling bullets, and we're thinking, "Bless God, ain't nobody taking my house. We're going to war." That's our mentality. Right, I'm going to tell you something. When God's ready to judge a nation, you can give a gun to every redneck in Alabama, Texas, every hillbilly in Kentucky and Arkansas. It will not matter. And that's what happened to the children of Israel. Whenever God sent Nebuchadnezzar, he raised up King Nebuchadnezzar to overthrow Israel. And then he raised up Cyrus, king of Persia, to overthrow and bring judgment upon Babylon. Are you with me? God did that. It's amazing, that Bible, because he tells us this is going to happen. And then he does it, and it happens. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing in the Bible that God tells us so many truths for you and I to live our life by, and yet we will not listen to what he says. Well, look at that text right here. There's some things that jumped out at me. I wanted to give you kind of a background of what was taking place right here. I mean, go back to Isaiah. Keep your finger there, and I want you to go to the right and to Jeremiah right quick. Jeremiah 25. Jeremiah 25. When you get there, say amen. Jeremiah 25, look at verse number 11 with me real quick. "And this whole land shall be desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I'll punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity in the land of the Chaldeans, and I will make it perpetual desolations." God told him 70 years judgment. Flip over to Jeremiah chapter number 29 real quick. Jeremiah 29. Look at verse number 10. The Bible says, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and causing you to return to this place." When Cyrus said yes to God, not only did he bring judgment upon Babylon, but that opened the door for God's people to go back to where God intended them to be. Because a king said, "Yes, Lord." When I think about in our Christian life today, and I think about Cyrus, listen to me. If God is willing to do this for a king that is not one of his chosen people, don't you think that he's willing to do it for you? Can I say it this way? If God could do it for Cyrus, he could do it for you. Somebody says, "Well, I just don't see." I told Brother Jeremy this morning, but last Wednesday I was preaching. I don't got time for that illustration. Now you sing too many songs this morning. Hey, but let me go back. Isaiah 45. Go back to Isaiah 45 quickly. I want to give you the message this morning and let you go eat something. Praise God. Isaiah 45. Listen to me. You look around and you say, "Well, I wish my family was like their family. I wish my marriage was like their marriage. I wish I had a sweet relationship with the Lord like they do. I wish I had this." Listen to me. That's what God desires for you, but you have to make the decisions to let God lead your life. Look at verse number 1, chapter number 45. He says this. He says, "Thus saith the Lord who is anointed to Cyrus." Listen to what he says. "Whose right hand I have holden." You know what you need to decide this morning, Christian, is that you're going to let God have your right hand. What does that mean? He is a king and he's saying, "God, whatever you want, wherever you want me to go. I will do, I will say, I just want to do whatever God wants me to do this morning." At some point in your life, you're going to have to decide to quit being a brat. Come here. Which one's your right hand? Give me your right hand. Hey, as walking around with your children, you're walking through a crowd or you're walking in the woods or something, and you've got a little child and you grab him by his hand, don't you? Why? You want to protect him. You want to lead him. And you ever in a store, mama, and that child's trying to pull away from you and go their own way? Isn't that aggravating? Why do we do that to God? I mean, here we are. God's trying to lead us, and he wants to bless your life. He wants to bless your marriage. Hey, don't blame your marriage problems and your child problems on serving God.
Amen.
Don't blame it on God.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, God wants you to have a great marriage. He wants you to have a great home, and we get frustrated and all bent out of shape. I'm telling you, God's saying, "Hey, give me your right hand and let me lead you, and I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll lead you to some good treasures."
Amen.
And we'll see that in just a minute. Sit down for just a minute. Look at your Bible, Psalm 45. I got to hurry. Number one, you got to give God that right hand. Number two, look at verse number one again. "Thus saith the Lord to his anointed to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to," watch this now, "to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut." Hey, number one, you got to let God, you got to make a decision that you're going to let God have your right hand. "God, I'm going where you want to go. I'm doing what you want me to do." Number two, you got to let God fight your battles. I give this illustration to our church all the time, babe. Here's our problem, if you'll stand right there for me. Well, I love my wife. You men that love your wife, say amen.
Amen.
I'm going to give you one more opportunity. You men who love your wife, say amen.
Amen.
Here's our problem. If I want to go my way and she wants to go her way, there's always going to be problems between us. There's always going to be problems. You know why? Because this space right here represents all the problems. We'll just say this table represents all the problems of life, from finances to children to whatever it might be, to health. And problems get in the way of you having a godly marriage. Well, how do I get a better marriage? How do you live above that? I'll tell you what you do. You and I both try to get close to God. Can I say to you that when my wife and I walk closer to God, our problems are still there. You understand that? The problems, the financial, whatever it might be, they're still there. But we're living above those problems, and they're not near as big up here as they are down there. You can sit down thinking. I'm trying to hurry. Number one, I'm saying, listen to me. Let God fight your battles. Let God fight them. This Christian life, look, you can whine to me, complain about it all you want to. This Christian life is not hard. Now, when you sit in a jail cell as a preacher and you deal with a young man that had all the potential in the world to be a godly young man and he's thrown his life away, I'll tell you, that's hard. When you sit across from a couple that's battling it out because neither one of them want to sell out to God, they both want to come to church, but they want to be worldly all week and come to church on Sunday. Say, well, I'm going to church. I'm trying to do right and it's still not working. No, friend, it doesn't just happen on a Sunday. It happens on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. You say, God, here's my hand. Lead me wherever you want me to go. Verse number two, I got to hurry. Verse number two, the Bible says, I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight and will break in pieces the gates of brass. Let God go before you. I think about if you ever been out in the woods. Y'all have a lot of woods around. I know you do in East Texas, but what about around here? Back in Alabama, we do. We got a lot of them. And I've been in the woods with my boys from the time they were little. We'd go out and I'd take a machete or something. I'd tell them, hey, stay behind me. And I'm whacking limbs down. Are y'all with me? I'm whacking limbs down. Why? I'm trying to keep them from getting hurt get thorns on them, get hurt going through the wood. I'm trying to make life easier for my child who's with me when he's a little boy and get through those woods. And I'm tearing limbs down so that, hey, if this big old fat boy can get through it, he ought to be able to get through it. Somebody say amen. I say, that's what God does for you. Man, when you hold on to God's hand, you say, God, lead me. Hey, God's knocking down the barriers. He's taking the crooked places and he's trying to make them straight. And so many Christians are fighting against him and saying, hey, I want to go this way. I want to go that direction. And you know, as a daddy, the boy's over there caught up in the woods and you're down over here and you have this nice fat trail where you done knocked down all the thorn bushes and all the twigs and all the tree limbs and he's stuck over in the briars. Why? Because he wanted to do his own thing. And can I tell you, there's a lot of believers. Hey, listen, they're over there in the briars and thickets, and they're trying to do their own thing. Say, preacher, I know that's what you believe, but I don't really believe that way. Can I just tell you something real quick? Are y'all still with me? I'm running out of time. I got 7 minutes left, praise God. Can I just say this to you? The things that we preach, do you think that we want to preach them all the time? Man, when we start preaching about convictions and standards and all, do you think we really want to preach about that? Don't you know that we know 50% of our church doesn't believe a thing we're saying? And then most of the community thinks we're cult leaders because we teach the Bible. Somebody say amen. Why would we even do it? I'll tell you why. Because we know God and we know God's word. And what we're trying to do is help God clear the past out for you to make life easier. You can sit down. He'll make the crooked places straight. Not only that, look at your Bible, verse number two. The Bible says this, and I'll give thee the verse number two. I'll go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I'll break in pieces the gates of brass, cut in sunder the bars of iron. Let him take down your obstacles. We've got them, amen. Are you tired of fighting? There's somebody here this morning, you're just tired of fighting. You're tired of just battling in this Christian life, trying to survive. God never intended for you to live your Christian life that way. If you're living your Christian life that way, it's because you choose to live it that way. You say, preacher, do you never have problems? Oh, I could give you a whole list of them. But I'm not going to can I just say this to you? Hey, listen, whatever you're going through, your God is bigger than whatever problem you're dealing with. And he can take care of it, amen. Look at your Bible real quick in Matthew chapter number 11 with me. You got to hurry up. I got I still got 7 minutes according to my watch, amen. Matthew chapter 7, get over there real fast. Excuse me, Matthew chapter 11. When you get there, say amen. Matthew chapter 11. Look at verse number 20. You say, well, I don't really agree with you. I think it's too hard. Well, let's just let Jesus talk to us for a minute, okay? Let's just listen to what Jesus says about this. He says in verse number 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is what? You know what that is? That's going the way God would have you go. And my burden's light. Isn't it amazing that we get in our mind, oh, it's too hard, it's too hard. You know what we do? All we're doing is repeating phrases that somebody else says, and we're not getting in the book, and we're not spending time with God, and we're not getting close to God. Amen. I'm telling you, listen, as a pastor, you deal with everybody's problems, all their children's problems, and I'm going to tell you, it could take us, or we could take it to God and let God handle it. And when I get up in the morning, guess what? It doesn't matter what I'm going through. I know that my God is bigger than whatever I have to deal with. Amen. He's never failed me. Been doing it for a while now. He's never let me down. Can I say, listen to me, let him take out your obstacles. Let him clear the path for you. Let him, look at verse number 3 with me back over in our text. Last one, I'm done. Isaiah chapter number 45. Look at verse number 3. Watch this. He's talking, by the way, he's giving us a prophecy about Ezra. I mean, not Ezra, but Cyrus. Could you imagine being the scribe that come to Cyrus one day? Hey, King Cyrus, can I show you this Jewish prophecy? Look right here. 200 years ago, they said this. Their God said this about you. And look right here, King Cyrus. Their God said that if you would let him take you by the right hand and let him lead you and let him straighten your path and let him take down your obstacles. Look right here, Cyrus. It says that God is going to bless you. Look at verse number 3. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. You know, Babylon had all kinds of riches that they had stored up from the nations that they had dominated, and one day God said it's time that to wipe Babylon out, and the kings of Persia went in and they took Babylon and they got all those treasures that God had promised if Cyrus would just submit to God. What are you trying to tell us that for, preacher? Look right here, church. Look right here. You want a blessed family? You want a blessed marriage? You want to enjoy this Christian life? Look right here. There's all kinds of promises right there. In that book right there that God says, hey, you can have it if you'll just let me grab you by the right hand. Just let me grab you by the right hand and let me lead you. And let me take out the obstacles and let me take out the make the crooked places straight and let me make life easier for you. Why do we pull away like our children would do? You know what we do? We always think. That kid in the store always thinks, well, there's something more exciting over there. There's something, that way's got to be a little bit better. I'm telling you, it's not. I'll tell you what's over there. I remember as a little kid getting lost every once in a crowd. Your heart goes down into your stomach. You're like, where is my mother? How many of y'all ever remember doing something like that? I'll tell you, a lot of Christians are living their life like that right now, thinking, God, where are you? Lord, where are you at? I remember my kids were growing up when they were little, and I would tell them, stay by me, and they would wander off, and I would keep an eye on them, but I wouldn't let them be able to see me because I wanted them to understand, when I tell you to stay by me, what happens if you get lost and nobody knows where you're at? I'll keep an eye on them, but they're scared to death because all of a sudden they can't find daddy. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of Christians, you live in your life, saying, God, where are you at? God's saying, hey, give me your right hand. Just let me lead you. Just let me. What kind of Christian are you going to be this morning? Are you going to be the one that pulls away and says, I'm going over here. I don't care what the preacher says. I don't care what God says. And none of us would ever really say that. I was 16 years old. I made a decision at 16, as a 16-year-old boy, that I was going to have a family with God's blessings on it. And I've told my kids, God's blessed their life because mom and dad made a decision years ago to live for God. And I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to work on having a good marriage, and I'm going to work at being there for my children. But I'm going to do whatever I can. When God convicts me about something in this book, I'm just going to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm not going to argue with God about it. I would rather make sure I'm right so God can lead me to verse 3 where those treasures are. And I'm not just talking about money. Man, I want God's, the blessings that God has on my family are so big to me today. God knew 200 years before Cyrus was, he knew before the world was created, but he pinned it down 200 years before Cyrus was born. Hey, there's coming a king one day, and I raised up Nebuchadnezzar and let him destroy my people for judgment. There's coming a king one day that I'm going to raise up and take them out so my people can go back because their judgment will be over. When God looks down life and sees you, is he looking at somebody this morning and says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to choose God. I'm going to choose Christ. I'm going to say yes, Lord. Or does he look at somebody and says, I sure wished I could. Those promises are the same. Brother Ogden, they're the same for every preacher, for every daddy, for every mama. They're the same.